Okay, so here's our launch point. Here's our verse. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit, the ruach, who comes from God. Hey, believers, guess what? We have the spirit, the ruach, from God. When we have given our life to the Lord, ba-bam, we get the spirit within. This is a very cool thing. Sometimes, you know, there's these old stories, you know, who lives in your heart? Yeshua lives in your heart. No, he's at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is interceding for us all the time. But the ruach, the spirit, is within. The Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. So we get this, we get the Spirit so that we can understand these things given to us by God. We also speak these things not only in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Now, there are two words I want to pull out here, and just for the sake of clarity, one is Spirit, the Ruach itself, and that is the Ruach, the Spirit of God Himself. And then there's another, and you see who that is in this verse because it's a capital S. And then there's another word that's specific to spiritual, and it's a small s. And those are the things of God that are impressed upon us. We are not just natural people anymore. And if we would read on into the next verse, verse 14, we would see that there is a definition of natural people in that verse, and it's people who don't know the Lord, who are not of the Spirit of God. And then there are us who's of the Spirit of God. We are spiritual people. This is really, really a big thing. So often, I believe that many, many of us walk through life forgetting that we're also spiritual. We may hear the word and go, yeah, yeah, I know I'm spiritual. So I want to give you a picture of something. And it's, you know, it's kind of a goofy thing, but it's really appropriate. My wife and I are taking a vacation. All my kids are. I've shared this before. It's been a long time since I've taken a week off. So we're taking some time off, and I'm excited to be with my family. Both my kids are going, and their husbands and our grandson, and they were all jamming on a cruise ship. We're going to take over some cruise ship going to Alaska, or coming from Alaska. So a lot of fun. Here's the problem. We have a dog. And you can't leave the dog alone in your house for, you know, right? So you got to do something with the dog. But I have a quirky little dog, Lulu. Lulu the quirky dog. Lulu is not so into other dogs. She's a people dog. And on occasion, we've taken her for the weekend and we'll drop her off at a, you know, boarding place. And they're a little stressed out by our dog because our dog is people. So when they let her out and they say, Lulu, you have your playtime, Lulu doesn't go anywhere. And they say, what's wrong with your dog? Well, a lot of things are wrong with my dog. But what they're getting at is, why won't your dog leave my side? Well, because my dog's kind of weird. You know, it's a little bit unusual dog. So when the dogs are all running around sniffing, you know what dogs do. When they're running around and doing that sort of, they're playing together, Lulu is just sitting at the foot and sometimes on the foot of the kennel employee. It doesn't matter what employee, it doesn't matter what kennel. And they get a little bit annoyed. By the time we get back, they say, is your dog ready for boarding? My dog is 3. Of course she's ready for boarding. She doesn't want to go to boarding. So by the time we come home, and even after a weekend, my dog still loves people, but she forgets some of what it's like to have manners to be in my house. She takes on the way of the kennel. So she's so excited to be with us that she forgets in just that short period of time what it is to come back to our house, what the house rules are. We have house rules for dogs. Can you imagine that? And she must abide by the house rules. She forgets that we have house rules. I appreciate that she wants to be with us, but she forgets that there are house rules. And there's a whole world that she has to relearn, even after it's just a few days in a kennel. And sometimes spiritually, I believe we're like that. Yeah, yeah, God, I want to be with you. But when we're, you know, we kind of do our thing in life, we can forget about him. We are spiritual. Let me amplify a little bit. Those two words, spiritual, ruach, of the Spirit, capital S, and spiritual, those things that are impressed upon us of the Lord, that small s, they show up in these verses. Not the second bullet point, but I wanted to include it anyway. So here's what I'm saying. Spiritual savvy is given. We learn spiritually. There's a wisdom, a spiritual wisdom that's given. This is important. So, well, we're spiritual beings. We must be fed with spiritual wisdom. We can't just be spiritual living like non-spiritual people. Nutrients for spiritual growth are supplied. Now, these things, milk, solid food, and bread, are not specifically tied into one of those two spiritual words, but the concepts of them are very clear. We can't live by bread alone. We're spiritually fed. Our spiritual growth is proven by evidence. This is a funny thing to me. The longer that we live a spiritual life, if we really lean into it, if we pour into our spiritual growth, our spiritual development, people can, on the outside, can see it. It shows up in the form of spiritual fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. If we're living or if we're growing spiritually with the Lord, we inherently show it. We don't have to try. If I'm growing into the Lord, if I'm just obeying what He says and living my spiritual life, I will become more self-controlled. He'll see to it. Which seems kind of bizarre. I have to do my part. But it's amazing. I'll want to do my part. And He'll just do it. And then finally, spiritual gifts are given for what is beneficial. Gifts of the Spirit, of the Ruach, that for spiritual, small s, impact. They're given. I think these verses together, they point and they remind us that we are spiritual people growing in a spiritual life and being used to spiritually impact other people. I think it's wonderful. If we stop the message here, it's a pretty good message. We're reminded that the capital S Spirit, the Ruach, does these spiritual things in His spiritual people. I think that's amazing. But there's something I want to point out here. There's a bit more. How do we make sure that we don't spiritually drift? How do we do it? I mean, really, how do we make sure that we don't spiritually kind of flake off? One example is the summertime. Yeah, I'll be camping all the time. I fish all the time. I'm going to miss a lot of services. Okay, well, how do you not spiritually drift while you're camping and fishing? In Alaska, this was a big deal. Friday afternoons would hit, and you would see there's one lone highway. There's one lone highway in Alaska, just one. It's really easy to keep track of. It's the New Seward Highway. The New Seward Highway replaced the... Yeah, it's amazing. See, you already know the road system in Anchorage. It replaced the old Seward Highway. So in somewhere Friday afternoon, there would be a line of vehicles, campers and people pulling boats and whatever, on this little two-lane highway going south from Anchorage. And it's just a windy two-lane road. And now since then, it's gotten a bit bigger. But the traffic would be horrible. And you could wait for 3 hours to go 30 miles. It was bad, true? Remember that, Dad? It was bad. But and then Sunday night, it was the same thing coming back into the city. People would go and they would camp all summer long. And you can't blame them, really. They're snowed in for the winter. What are they going to do? And when the summer comes, bam, they can't wait to go. And the congregational attendance would go from this high to this low. And then in fall, it would go back up to the high. And in the summertime, back to the low. We see it here as something on a smaller scale. People take vacations, they camp, they fish. This is their chance. The school year is done. The families take trips. They go, you know, wherever they want to go, however they want to do it. But traveling can cause drift, right? It's easy to see that as we travel, people can, you know, be away from the house. They can miss worshiping with congregational family, and their spiritual growth can be impacted. I think one of the things that's safe to say, sometimes our biggest challenges aren't the big obvious ones. I mean, sometimes they are. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, this is telling us we have struggles that are spiritual struggles, which makes sense for a spiritual people to have spiritual struggles. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Our big challenges, we know, can be glaring issues for us and cause spiritual drift. Sometimes being busy in life can cause spiritual drift. Another thing that can cause spiritual drift are assumptions. I'll give you some congregational assumptions that cause spiritual drift on people in a congregation. Expectations or assumptions that somebody in business in the congregation will just give you a discount. This is really big. I've seen a lot of people flake off from God over this. So imagine that I am a carpenter. It's a big imagination, but imagine. And you say, hey, Jim, you know, I need to hire you. I want to put in a bookshelf. So would you come over and put in a bookshelf? Sure, I'd love to go put in a bookshelf. And I build this bookshelf, and it looks great and good. And I paint it and stain it, whatever. It looks good. It's all done. And I say, what do you think of this new bookshelf? And you go, oh, this is so nice. Here's 10 bucks. Then it's 10 bucks. Well, yeah, you know, we go to the same congregation, so I know that you're going to want to give me a discount. It's not a discount. So expectations like that within a congregation, you know, workmen need to be paid. They got to make a bill. They got to pay their bills. They got to make a living. There's like this secret handshake, you know, hey, we go to the same congregation, so I know you're going to give me a deal. Why? Why give a deal? Well, people get upset about it. It can cause spiritual drift. We've had people come, over the years, we've seen this a number of times, people expecting discounts, or on the other side, imagine if I'm a carpenter and I start the job and I just don't finish it because I get busy. You'll understand. Meanwhile, you've got boards laying all over your house. That stuff happens. And it can hurt people in congregations. So that's one example where things get blown up. You know, the expectations. Other expectations happen. Here's something that I'm really hung up on in this. People will so often put expectations of just repeating what they did with the Lord when they were young, because that will keep them spiritually sharp. Repeating what used to go on in congregations years ago. I won't spend a lot of time talking about this, but I'm just going to share a little bit of a personal testimony. No details, but I don't think it will matter. Some years ago, my wife and I, you know, we lived life one way. We were naive and happy. I don't think we are naive and happy like that anymore. I think we're happy and not naive. You know what I'm talking about? We were like this. Something really big happened. One thing really big. It's a very complicated thing to us. I think I'm still unwinding it. I know she is. And then we ended up like this. We were like this. Now we're like this. We have the joy of the Lord. That's the same. But we are really different on viewing the world around us. If we weren't careful, that could have caused spiritual drift. If we weren't careful, we went through something that really made us just want to stay in bed. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it would have squashed the joy of the Lord. Yes, I would have called myself a believer, but I would have stayed in bed. There are some of you in this room right now that are going through something so big. Now, we have some health issues in this room. I know for a fact there's 3 people in this room dealing with cancer. Great big physical things. I pray for you 3 often. And then there's some people in the room going through things that nobody knows about. Great big things. Nobody knows about. Don't let it cause drift. Don't let it cause your spiritual self to wither. Kind of like a pancreas with too much sugar. You can hear them shrink sometimes. What a weird picture that is. Don't be a spiritual pancreas. I'm having fun right now, but you know what I'm saying. Don't let it cause spiritual drift. Those things that you think nobody knows about, or the big things that people do know about. What about this? The over-spiritualization of things. Do you know the Pharisees were very good at over-spiritualizing? Oh man, they still do it. Somewhere along the line, they started this idea that people have to pray like this. Oh yeah, that makes it more holy. I'm not trying to put it down, but it's not spiritual. Just pray. Yeshua came and he said, don't do it this way, don't do it this way. Do it so he sees, not so that they see. You know, he really tried to put things in a great way for them to see, and so often they didn't see it. And the same with us. We will over-spiritualize things, sometimes to the nth degree. We'll overcomplicate, we'll overthink. Well, did you do this? Did you do this? You know, did you throw salt over your shoulder? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our walk with God is so simple and so honest and so true because he knows where we're at. He wants us to want to be with him. Do we want to be with him? We can't let over-spiritualization cause us to drift. We could talk about this all day long. But what about under-spiritualization? I'm going to read a list of some verses here. Or not verses, a point from the verse. Proverbs 15, think before speaking. 15:1 says that. Proverbs 15:8, control your temper. Proverbs 15:22, get good counsel. Proverbs 6:6, avoid laziness. Think like an ant. Proverbs 13:11, save your money, it'll grow. Proverbs 22:26, don't do debt. Proverbs 22:1, protect your integrity. So, why did I read these verses? Because so often people will under-spiritualize things. They're so busy looking for the big aha silver bullet moments with God that they forget that his word is chock full of daily living concepts. They just miss them. They're so busy focusing on God, what should I do in this magical moment, that God's already said it. There's many things that people pray about. Well, should I buy a new car? Let's talk about that. Do you have a lot of debt? Yes, I do. Do you have to buy a new car? No, I don't. Well, I think God's giving you an answer. We can under-spiritualize and take so lightly those verses, those concepts that we know, because we just either don't pay attention to them, or we don't like what they say, or we disagree with them, or whatever. But that under-spiritualizing can cause us to drift. We need the daily concepts of the Lord in our life so we don't drift. And we need to hold on to them and live them. Debt is one of the most common ones for me. I hear people all the time talk about money in some way, shape, or form because they're in debt. If you're in debt, I just want to encourage you, work yourself out of it. Bring a change to how you spend. Get out of it. Change how you spend. Go through that whole cycle. It's going to be painful. It's going to be real painful. It might be super painful. And if you need financial help, you know, my mom's got money. Go see her. No, she doesn't have any money. But it's good. But do get out of it. Reposition yourself. Because the word says, don't take that lightly. This spiritual drift, these things that can cause spiritual drift, we can't let them lose us. We can't. So I mentioned earlier that my daughter is getting married today. Today, I'm leaving here and going to do that. She's marrying a guy that we like a lot. They've been dating for, 800 years. You know, you just kind of look at it and you say, it's about time. Where have you been? He's a good guy. His name is Luke. So Emily is marrying Luke. And not Luke from the Bible, by the way. It's a different Luke. So in doing this, we know that she's going to take on this married identity. That's the way it goes. But she can't drift so far that she forgets that she's a Susler. And he can't drift so far that he forgets where his parents are from. You know what I'm talking about? We have to live life spiritually like that. We can't drift so far that we forget that we are spiritual people. We're acquiring spiritual food from a spiritual God. We need it. And we need to care for each other this way. Amen? Oh, please stand up. Let's pray for us. Lord God, we seek you for these things. We don't even hardly know what it is to be spiritual. It's such a simple statement, but it's a lifetime concept for us. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into light. Thank you for doing what you did spiritually within us and now spiritually to us and spiritually through us. Lord, I pray for this house. Help us be good at being sensitive to your spirit leading. We are blessed by you. Always were blessed. I pray for everybody here who's going through these big times, and there are some big times, God. Health factors, grief, finances, things that we don't know as a community. Help us not drift. Bring peace, Lord. Bring healing. Bring answers, wisdom that we can share with one another and exhort. Help us be good spiritual receivers so we can be spiritual givers. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechach Adonai voyishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliyecha vihunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliyecha. V'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Be blessed. The Lord is good.